He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday. It is the May 19th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and a chartered financial analyst, Barry Kite. Well, I'm surprised, pleasantly surprised. The market has not opened as bad as I thought it might after yesterday's big sell-off, which we'll talk about here in a minute. The Dow right now is down 290 points. That's 0.75%, but that doesn't tell the whole story because over on the NASDAQ, the NASDAQ is currently up. The NASDAQ is in green by about 30 points. I'm just waiting for the little bug to come around here. There it is. It's up 32 points to 11,451. The S&P 500 is down about 9 points to 3,914. The Russell 2000 small cap index down about 0.6%. Crude oil is down $1.39, but it's way up at 108.20, and there's some pretty big predictions out there on where gasoline at the gas station might be going here in coming weeks. Gold is up $23 an ounce, seeing a big move in the gold stocks today, which looked to be oversold to me. Gold is at $18.39. Silver's up 35 cents. It's also oversold, $21.89. The 10-year is backing off. It's down 10 basis points right now, and that's helping the NASDAQ. 10-year's at 2.79. And Bitcoin, which has been in a risk-off selling mode lately, it's up 300 to 29,673. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson of Gunderson Capital Management, 23 years in the business as a professional money manager. Gunderson Capital is a nationwide virtual firm with clients all across America. And Barry, we got to start off today by reminding everybody of yesterday. I hate to do that, the Dow was down 1,164 points yesterday on definitely a shot across the bow by Target, okay? Target was really a shocking report as far as where we're at currently with inflation. Target is being hurt badly by inflation. And why does that impact the entire market? Well, Target is a member of the S&P 500. And obviously, Target's forward earnings estimates, I'm going to watch those over the next several days and weeks. Target has currently got an earnings estimate of $15.95 for next year, $14.61 per share for this year. Let's watch and see what happens to those estimates going forward. They're obviously going to be revised lower. And, Barry, when that happens to one stock in a sector, okay, like Target, and in the mouth of two witnesses, because it was Walmart the day before.
Yeah.
Okay, so now
it's
everybody.
Like playing telephone, right?
They're going to take their, sharpen their pencil and look at all the retail and consumer stocks in the S&P 500 and all the stocks that may be impacted by, rising labor costs. That impacts everybody. Not just the retailer. Rising labor costs are a real issue. Okay. Number two, rising cost of goods, your basic materials, especially for anybody that manufactures like the auto industry or Caterpillar or deer or any of those. And then you got to also look at, will there be some demand destruction amongst the clients of these companies, the customers? And so now you have to look at next year's estimate for the entire S&P 500 of $250 per share, and you got to say, well.
Right, and how much of that's retail, right?
I mean, yes.
And those are some of the biggest employers in the, you know, in the U.S. I mean, we've got, you know, you get, of course, Walmart, I believe, being the top or second top between them and Amazon, and I think Allied are around the top three. But yeah, you've got, you know, two of those essentially are somewhat a retailer, right? Of course, you know, Amazon, Walmart, then you've got Target, I think, is, you know, towards the bottom in terms of top 10 of employers in America. And so, you know, they're using, you know, lots of gasoline for transportation in terms of getting their goods to their stores or delivering them to our doorstep. And then they have a lot of headcount. So,
exactly. And I'm going to have a little article. I'm going to have a little news blurb out today on some predictions for where gasoline prices, one big firm thinks they're headed. So it's obvious to me, and I've been under that $250 forecast for earnings next year in the S&P 500. I felt it was too high. During the good years, I was ahead. I felt like the earnings estimates were too low. And each quarter has come along, we've beat those earnings estimates quite handily. And the earnings estimates eventually caught up to where I was last year and this year. And now I'm lower than the consensus out there, and I'm lower on the multiple. I mean, 5,200 target price for the S&P 500 next year, that's the consensus. That's ridiculous. Okay, so that shows you how big a lag there is between the consensus estimates out there for the S&P 500 and reality and where we actually are at right now. So 250, obviously too high. You can't be using a multiple of 21, which is what they have to do to get to 5,200. I'm much lower on both the earnings estimates for next year and the multiple for next year. And I'm not alone in that. Goldman Sachs, I have pretty good company. Morgan Stanley, Merrill Lynch, Bank of America, they're all down more in my neighborhood. And that's before the Walmart report 2 days ago and the Target report yesterday. So the newsletter will be interesting. You know, I'll sharpen my pencil some more tomorrow, be sending it out Friday or Saturday afternoon with the Target price on the S&P 500. Okay, so now, like you say, there was collateral damage too, because you have to look at the elements that were driving their cost higher, and it basically comes down to labor. The fuel cost definitely play into what happened at Target. Target lost a quarter of its value yesterday in one day.
And since 1987, by the way. You never like to get back to some of those.
Well, that wasn't a good year for the market either, 87.
No.
Wow. Okay, and I'm seeing a lot of things going back to the year 2000, like we talked about yesterday with the IPO bubble getting nicked pretty hard here recently. And, of course, the moonshot, the innovation stocks, they've been in the bear market for quite some time. Okay, so Target rattles the world. I mean, European stocks were down 2% overnight because inflation is not contained to just the U.S. It is a global problem. Okay, we had the Philly Fed outlook come in this morning, weaker than expected, much below consensus, and the lowest reading in 2 years. And the R word is coming up more and more. In fact, we'll get to one big research firm that says, I think it's Wells Fargo, that says recession is now baked into the cake for them. Jobless claims hit a four-month high today. So there's a lot of evidence of a slowing economy. We saw also yesterday the tech stocks get hammered. Not only was the Dow down 1,164 points, the NASDAQ was down 566, and I saw some venerable old grizzled veterans breaking their support levels. Apple, okay, Microsoft, breaking its technical support level. That's something to take note of. And why? Because, you know, they have inflation issues, too. They have a lot of employees. They're an employer. And when labor costs are rising, that's going to cut into their margins, too. So, you know, it was not only consumer stocks that were down yesterday, but the tech stocks were down. You got into the discount consumers yesterday, the Dollar Trees of the world, which work on thin, thin margins. And then we have a big tech stock missing estimates this morning. We'll talk about that when we come back. But market doing better than I thought it would so far. Welcome back to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson and chartered financial analyst Barry Kite. Today, definitely gold is the star. NASDAQ's up 58 right now, and the Dow is down just 205. Inverse funds came in real handy yesterday. You know, it's kind of a type of market where the market was up big on Monday, right? Wasn't it up 500 or something like that? And that's a day you say, I wish I didn't have any inverse funds at all. And then the next day, Tuesday, or maybe it was Tuesday and Wednesday, the market's down 1,100, and you're saying, I wish I had only inverse funds in my portfolio. I don't think we're to the point yet in the market where only inverse funds is the way to go, and we're definitely not in the point at the point in the market where only being on the long side is the way to. I think there's opportunities on both the long side of the market and on the inverse and short side of the market. And I'm looking kind of forward to going through the charts, digging in today. Because I think there's some real opportunities right now in some oversold areas of the market. And I still think there's some very vulnerable areas of the market out there right now. Obviously, retail being one. We talked about empty. That ETF empty was up, I think, about 8 or 9% yesterday. It's down 0.5%. I only know of two inverse ETFs that specifically call out retail. The other one is SCC, which is the ultra short consumer services. It had a big day yesterday also. And like I say, you know, it spread over to, I saw Apple break down. I sent out a tweet. I said, Apple and Microsoft are breaking down below their support levels. I mean, it's like take no prisoners right now. Everybody is in harm's way right now. Cisco, okay, I haven't owned Cisco for 20 years. Cisco reported earnings today, and it was it not good at all. It's down 12.8%, 12.8% today, CSCO. And, you know, Cisco, it's kind of interesting because this is another element. This is another piece of the puzzle that we have to keep our eye on. Cisco has no problem with demand for their product. It's fulfilling that demand. They're still calling out the supply chain, and especially with China and the COVID issues that they've had. And, you know, that's a problem for just about everybody. Not only are labor costs high, you've got a clogged up supply chain. You've got rising prices, fuel prices are soaring, but that supply chain issue is what Cisco is pointing to specifically for their problems. Cisco has not been a stock that, you know, I mean, they were at one time one of the best tech stocks in the entire market, but those were many years ago, a couple decades ago, and now it's down 12.8% today. Okay. The then, you know, the online retailers, well, you know, they have the same problems that the bricks and mortar retailers have, don't they? They have labor. I would say they're getting hit big time on their shipping costs.
Well, think of Amazon. I mean, look at that chart. That will that explains. I mean, they've mentioned they have too many people that they hired, and of course, delivery costs.
Yeah, the delivery costs, are soaring. They've got all, and you know, I mean, the margins were thin at Amazon. Amazon is built upon taking the margin. If somebody's got a 5% margin, they're going to go into competition with them and make money with a 1% or 2% margin. So they have a very thin margin to begin with. And now you've got the same problems. Amazon has the same problems. There's no advantage here for the online retailers over the bricks and mortar retailers. Amazon, you know, they reported that quarter recently that was a disaster. So you've got some real problems there in the retail sector.
Okay? And they're off. I mean, if you look at the math, they're off 42% from their 52-week high. Amazon is.
So, wow. Remember Fang? Yeah, Meta. Now it's mangled. you got Facebook, which got stomped. Netflix got absolutely pummeled. And Amazon got pummeled
too, right?
It's just, yeah, the Fang world is bygone era. And then you got down into a lot of the household product stocks, the consumer staples yesterday, Procter & Gamble, Church & Dwight, Kimberly-Clark, Clorox, Campbell's, Hain Celestial, Beyond Meat. They all got hit yesterday too in the carnage. Okay, now I keep an eye out. The bond market, the bond offerings have improved, and I've seen some that have really interested me here recently. We're getting more and more in the 4.5% range once again, and that's because inflation. All right, you have to say, hey, I got to get a better return to stay ahead of inflation, and so these companies are having to pay up now higher rates to borrow money. I saw this one today. It stood out to me. Not that I'm interested in it, but look how much Carnival had to pay. 10.5%. 10.5%. So if you want to make 10.5% on your money with a lot of risk, what if COVID sweeps the globe again? They did a private offering, $1 billion at 10.5%.
And
wow.
Look what they did, their debt offerings at, you know, kind of in the middle of COVID, right? Before vaccines and before reopenings. And I think we were all laughing at some of those numbers they were getting back then. I mean, it was like 5% or 4%,
yeah.
Right? And it's like, you know, who wants to take on that risk at 4? You know, 10 should have probably been the number back then and back then. But
yeah, I know. 10.5%. They have had to done. They've done so much borrowing and floating of stock. Okay, you see how many offerings, secondary, third, fourth, fifth. It's just incredible, just to keep their head above water. Pardon the pun. Okay,
they
now
need to
start
filling those ships with liquid natural gas.
Oh,
for the people, I guess,
or recycled French fry grease from their kitchen. But anyways, I see a good article in the Seeking Alpha today. I don't see many articles on inverse ETFs. You know, we own DXD. That is double inverse the Dow. I felt like the Dow had probably the furthest to fall. And DXD, can you imagine what it did yesterday with the Dow down 1,200 points? And it's breaking out again today. Well, there's an article in the Seeking Alpha, and when we come back, it says market tracking ETFs trade lower as sell-off continues, but there are ways to profit off of this. Yes, there are, and I'm grateful that I learned about inverse ETFs many years ago, maybe 15 years ago, and have many employed right now. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. And I think the best way I can sum up the market as it sits right now, I think there's opportunity on both sides of the ledger. I saw opportunity in the Dow, I don't know, a while back, and bought DXD on the inverse side of the Dow. And that's paid off so far, and I think there's more opportunity there in the inverse side. But I also think that there's opportunity on the other side. AMD's having a nice day today, and I like to look at, there's a screen on MarketSmith that's called Stocks Up on Volume. Not normal volume, okay? I mean, every day Apple trades a lot of volume. But we're looking for stocks that are trading unusual volume. And I see, just as I've gone through the first maybe 25 or so, I see some interesting things taking place. We just mentioned Amazon. Amazon's actually up on really big volume today. So somebody's coming in there and saying, hey, we think Amazon's probably hit bottom here. I also see the ARK funds are trading unusual volume, and they're up today. So maybe there's some bargain hunting going in there. So it should be a fun day today. I'm looking forward to really digging into it. Okay, now back to the inverse ETFs. I can just tell you what I've been doing lately, all right? When people transfer their accounts to us, Barry, many times, most times, they transfer their portfolios as is, okay? We don't require you to sell everything. That would be not a good thing, in my opinion, because there's tax considerations. Some people have pet stocks, just like they had pet rocks. I think he sold my favorite stock. Doesn't matter if it's down 90% from where they bought it. It was their favorite baby stock, you know. So, you know, I always, we bring things over as is, okay. So then every day as I upload all the holdings at our firm to my charts, all of those new stocks that come in every day, positions that come in, they're now under my watchful eye, okay. Like at a horse track, they've transferred from one barn to another barn. They're now in our barn. They're now in our barn, Barry, and I've got to pick through them and weed through them and get rid of the broken down claimers.
The gardening process.
Yes, the gardening process, weeding. Okay, so one thing I have been selling for the last several months, any indexes that come in. Okay, so let's say someone transfers in the S&P 500 index. I don't like the indexes. I think overall the indexes still have further downside risk. So I have gotten rid of all of the indexes. But I think within the index, okay, there's opportunities within the index. On both sides, opportunities on the inverse side and opportunities on the bull side, the long side. So, for instance, and I've also added some inverse indexes as hedges. Okay, so I've said this many times before. You can buy SPY. That's one of the biggest S&P 500 indexes, and it's going to mimic the index, whatever the index does. And on the other side of the coin, just turn the coin over, and you've got SH lurking underneath. And it is the inverse S&P 500. And then there's leveraged ones, okay? SDS is two times inverse the S&P 500. We currently have an inverse position on the Dow that's leveraged two times. So with the Dow down 1,200 yesterday, we were actually up 2,400 yesterday on the Dow on a percentage basis. And that's how those inverse funds work. Now, they're not long-term holds, obviously. They're used from time to time when the market gets itself into some unique position, some trouble here and there. There's always trouble somewhere. But for the most part, during the 12 or 13-year bull market that began back in 2009, you know, that's been a terrible place to be. But there have been times when those inverse funds come in handy. Now, the best performing, the worst performing index this year has been the NASDAQ by far. It's down 23%. PSQ is the inverse NASDAQ. And QID, this is all in an article in Seeking Alpha today, which I would recommend to anybody to read. QID is double inverse the NASDAQ. DOG is inverse the Dow. And DXD is double inverse the Dow. And then there's the triple inverses, which I don't use very often. SDAO is three times inverse the Dow. So that's how that works. Okay, we're going to have a Fed meeting. Next one will be in June. I think most everybody's in that 50 basis point hike in June, and more than likely in July. I've seen a lot of Fed governors weighing in recently, and they almost all seem to be signaling another 50 basis point hike. Okay, it's Wells Fargo that says recession is now the base case. They continue to move to defensive positioning on stocks as the economic growth forecast comes down. Well, when you bring down the economic growth forecast, you've also got to bring down earnings expectations. And like I say, they were at $250 per share as of last Friday. I think you got to be lower than that, and the consensus multiple that they've been using recently has been 20 to 21, and I think you got to be much lower than that. Also, we already have one quarter; it's not official. They revise that a few times, but I think even when they revise it, that GDP is going to end up being negative for the first quarter of this year.
Well, when they revise it, it usually goes in the direction. It usually goes further in the direction that it was. So they usually, if it's up, they usually revise it up. If it's down, they tend to usually revise it down. So
yeah, exactly. And you know, we'll get the, you know, I think that there's a good chance that the second quarter GDP. So I am not disagreeing too much with Wells Fargo's forecast for a mild recession for the end of this year and early next year. It couldn't happen at a worse time for you know, the Democrats in the November election. A recession, what was it, George Bush Sr.? It's the economy, stupid, and the economy. You can't say that it's in very good shape right now. Everywhere you look, there seems to be trouble. Okay, I want you to explain this next one. Credit spreads. Goldman Sachs is closely watching credit spreads for danger signs. What is meant by that?
Yeah, and what the credit spread is going to be, your spread between, you know, kind of, say, your safer bonds, so just take your U.S. Treasuries, for example, versus versus high yield. So that's your, you know, that's, you know, tells you essentially, you know, how much folks are, you know, what's the difference between those yields, right? So for a long time, we've had a real tight spread. So essentially, you know, even your riskier bonds, right, didn't have much higher interest rates, say, than, you know, some of your less risky assets, which, you know, meant was an appetite for, you know, bonds. People were just buying anything with the highest yields, which brought all those brought those spreads together. So what's happening, you know, what they're looking for now is, usually in times of crisis, especially, you know, if default rates rise, your riskier bonds, right, riskier companies, less, you know, less investment grade or non-investment grade companies, those interest rates should be higher, right? So that should that spread should widen. So as that spread widens, that means your high yield bonds are losing value comparatively to your safer bonds, which is, you know, one of the reasons why we have that SJB position in place.
Exactly. So I was going to lead to that, and that thing broke out yesterday. Like I say, there's opportunity on the bull case of the market, the long and on the short side. We own SJB, which is it's short, it's inverse, the high yield junk bonds, which get pretty shaky and wobbly if we start to go into a recession here. That thing broke out. It was a big yesterday, SJB. SJB, it also has a relative strength right now of 90. So Goldman Sachs says to watch the credit spreads for danger signs, and we totally agree with that. Okay, there's definitely some stuff popping. And I want to get to J.P. Morgan's forecast for the price at the pump when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite, Best Stocks Now.
You got to go where you want to go. Do what you want to do.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Prepare for $6 prices at the pump, says J.P. Morgan. And, of course, our listeners in California are saying, what do you mean? We're already paying $6 per gallon at the pump. National average gasoline prices hit $4.57 on Wednesday, a record. But J.P. Morgan's head of commodity research says consumers should prepare for gasoline prices above $6 this summer. So anyways, that is one estimate out there. J.P. Morgan, I would say that's pretty credible, pretty good research, I'm sure, that they've done on that. And, of course, that does not bode well if they're right. That doesn't bode well for Target and Walmart. But it bodes well for Chevron and Valero and Marathon and Phillips 66. We still are pretty bullish on the in the energy patch. And then one last thing here. They have a new index, Barry, that we're going to have to watch because this is an important one. The Global Supply Chain Pressure Index. GSCPI worsened due to issues in China and the European area and increased backlogs in the UK, the New York Fed's Liberty Street Economics Unit said Wednesday. So we'll have to keep an eye on the new index, which is the Global Supply Chain Pressure Index. Okay, so what's popping today? Here's one other one. Tesla's been under heavy pressure recently. We do not own Tesla. It quietly has gone below 700. Well, now it's at 705 today. So Tesla's been under pressure while he's been distracted a little bit.
A few different ways, right?
Yes.
I mean, that pressure, right? That, you know, that index that you just mentioned, you know, they've certainly had supply chain issues, you know, most of those certainly being in China. And then, of course, you know, the Twitter deal. You've got, you know, what I saw yesterday that Tesla was, and I didn't even dive into it because some of this ESG stuff kind of, you know,
they took him out of the,
took them out of the ESG S&P 500 index or something, S&P ESG index. And then apparently he tweeted, you know, I guess Exxon might be, you know, at the top or towards the top of that list, which.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I guess that means they're planting a lot of trees in other places while they're doing, you know, carbon offsets. I don't know.
Tesla, he's probably done more for the environment than any other CEO out there.
You would think.
Oh, well, you know.
Anyway.
There's a lot of, I don't think they like him right now. So, anyways.
No.
All right. So now, I like the gold stocks here. And, you know, I bought them and I'm down on them so far. But eventually, you would think that all of this has to lead to gold at some point in time. The dollar has been unusually strong. The dollar looks way overbought to me, and I'm starting to see the dollar finally start to roll over a little bit. And I've held on. I look at gold as kind of a hedge, obviously, against a falling dollar and inflation. And I see some pretty good action on good volume. So let's just take, for instance, Barrick Gold, G-O-L-D, which is kind of the blue chip, large cap, $37 billion company. I think the gold stocks are pretty attractive And they're very cheap right now. El Dorado Gold is a smaller one, EGO. They seem to be putting in a nice kind of bottoming formation here. They have very low forward PE ratios. I wouldn't go overboard. And you know what? I'm a guy who really, over the whole bull market, never had any exposure to gold. And this is the first time in a long time that I feel some exposure to gold is prudent and wise.
And it makes sense in the portfolio context. You know, I think that's a lot of times where, you know, listeners might get a little mixed up. It's like, you know, well, I don't know if I want to own, you know, Barrick Gold right by itself, for example.
Right.
I mean, if you owned it in the last month by itself, right, not very attractive.
No.
But when you mash it together, right, with, you know, with 24 other holdings, right, it has a place, right, in the portfolio, I think. So.
Yes, exactly. I definitely agree with that. And, you know, 5, 6% somewhere in there. And I think this is a good opportunity. I wish I would have waited until now. But that's okay. I buy into strength, and I bought into them when they were strong, and then they weakened. And now they seem to be gathering themselves again. So we'll see. And then
yeah,
I think
up almost 5% today.
Yeah, and some of these gold ETFs, Nugget, NUGT, is double the fun. Double the action, double the fun. No, it's three times. Nugget is three times the gold miner index. Maybe it's two.
I think it's two. Yeah, this one. I think the NUGT. I think that one is two. Because
yeah, Nugget's up 9.3% today on big volume. Okay, so big volume just for me is an indicator that you know, this is not little guys going in. This is not the Reddit group. This is more, you know, the institution saying, you know, we think after all this Target report and whatnot and recession being predicted by Wells Fargo saying it's the base case right now, J.P. Morgan coming out saying $6 oil, $6 gasoline. Seems like gold would track along with that, but we'll see. 9.6. And then one other stock that has held up pretty well throughout all of this is lithium, Albemarle, ALB, and we're looking into a bond offering that they have. They're going to make $12.35 in earnings next year. They're big on lithium and polymer additives, catalysts, fine chemicals for refining. That's a big word right now. The refiners are doing very well. So ALB is another one that's showing up on my screens here recently. We've owned it in the past and looking maybe to get back into it from Charlotte, North Carolina. All right, well, we're out of time. Like I say, I think there's opportunity on the long side and on the short side of the market. I don't think you can be either or. Right now, I think it's a combination of both, and take advantage of the weak on the inverse side and take advantage of the strong on the long side. And take advantage of us by giving us a call at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, or get the newsletter, GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.